I don't know whether he's recovered.
Well, I hope he hasn't.
It was a pizzling.
Absolutely it was.
An absolute pizzling. The Sydney Sixers losing by 94 runs. And we were discussing earlier about the attitude. They didn't have to win. We were wondering what their attitude was like in the dressing rooms going into this game against the Melbourne Stars. We're about to find out from Jeff Henry-Lawson, one of the assistant coaches there with the Sixers. Hello, Henry.
Good morning, gentlemen. Yeah, one of those forgettable ones, wasn't it?
What happened?
Well, the great uncertainty of sport, I guess. I mean, the attitude was fine.
Okay.
Certainly nothing detectable in that scenario, as you said, that we didn't have to win, just had to make sure the run rate didn't plummet too far to have the home semi-final and managed to do it. But that's what happens in sports sometimes. But nothing detectable in the way the guys went about their job. Just finished up that way.
Mm. First hand, you got to see Glenn Maxwell in full flight. Thoughts, the fact he's not playing IPL, what's going to happen from a World Cup point of view, etc. And the fact that Ricky Ponting's been added, who's a big fan of Glenn Maxwell, to the coaching squad.
Yeah, well, Glenn Maxwell's had a different season again. He's playing like you expect him to. Occasionally, that burst of brilliance that's just uncontainable, which it was last night, and some disappointments in between. But that's always going to be his modus operandi, given whatever form of the game, first class, 50 over or 20 over cricket. But occasionally, he will produce that just unmanageable innings where the opposition can't do anything to stop him, and that was last night. And that's always going to be the question about Glenn Maxwell. It's not his out-and-out talent, it's just his consistency. And so last night he performed. Whether they can find a spot for him in the World Cup, it will be highly doubtable, because I think that the other selectors, and Ponting won't be a selector, he's obviously be an advisor, but the other selectors don't seem too keen on him.
Yeah. What sort of effect do you think Ricky will have on this World Cup squad?
Well, it's an interesting addition to the coaching squad, given they've just sacked the bowling coach and replaced him with a guy who's not even working in, with any of the states. So the bowling mustn't be that worrisome. And they'll have two batting coaches. Their coach is a batsman. You've brought in another batsman to do coaching. It's just a quite interesting appointment, really.
And your wicketkeeper is a fielding coach.
And your wicketkeeper is a fielding coach. Well, I can almost live with that. Given that, being a specialist fielding coach, it's an interesting position in itself, James, isn't it?
Absolutely.
How do you pick the person who was the best fieldsman in his first-class career or 50-over career to be a fielding coach? I don't know. I think it's one of those jobs you learn on the run.
Mm. So what happened with David Saker? That happened quickly, and based on what we heard from Justin Langer, it's clear they just weren't getting on.
Well, it didn't happen quickly. The rumour was...
It was a slow burn, wasn't it?
Yeah, but as soon as Langer took over, he wanted Saker out and asked for his resignation.
Why?
Didn't get it. I can't tell you why.
Why not?
Obviously didn't feel he's... Well, I don't know. That's why.
Right, okay. Well, it sounded like you knew, but you just weren't going to reveal it.
No, I just... I knew it. The story was he was asked for his resignation and he said, no, I've got a contract, I'll be staying, thank you very much. Maybe Langer wanted to replace Saker with his man, Adam Griffith, who was his bowling coach at WA, and now the Hurricanes and the Tassie coach. That was a theory going around. But, Saker's a guy who's going to stand up in the dressing room and says what he thinks, and maybe Langer doesn't like that. Maybe he wants to be surrounded by yes men, but that's all speculation.
And that was the story that Saker gave the bowling troop a pull through at the SCG during that Test match, and they probably deserved a bit of a pull through, and then that obviously didn't go over so well. So fair to say, if the bowlers wanted David Saker on board, he'd still be there. Regardless of what.
How much power does this bowling cartel have?
Well, if the bowlers were happy with him, he'd still be there.
Well, we did have a Nathan Lyon's statement that he was totally shocked that Saker was going. Had no idea. So he's one of the bowlers, obviously not one of the fast bowlers, but a bowler nevertheless. And he was totally shocked by the move. So I don't know. Maybe the bowlers, not much to do with the bowlers, it's just got to do with the head coach.
Well, if they're worried about that, Ricky Ponting doesn't strike me as a bloke who's going to hold back. If he thinks something, he doesn't have to rant and rave about it, but he'll tell you pretty straight.
Yeah, I think he will, yeah.
No, well, I mean, if you're going to have a healthy coaching staff, I mean, the feedback's got to be honest. If you don't think something's going right, you've got to say so. That's a part of elite sport. You can't just let it wander on to avoid a controversy or a confrontation. You've got to say what you think.
Absolutely.
And coaches, head coaches have to appreciate that they'll get honest feedback. That's why you have experts on your coaching staff.
Mm. Yeah. How do the Sydney Sixers pick themselves back up, dust themselves down to take on the Melbourne Renegades on Friday night down in Melbourne?
Well, the good thing it's Friday night. It's a few days to get over this one, get back to practice. So they've been playing pretty well, the guys, to be honest. I mean, some really consistently high performances with a bat and the ball, but great in the field. And
and
so that performance came out of the blue. So you can actually put that away as a bit of a one-off, given that they've been playing some pretty good cricket. And the semi-finals are a totally different beast. The feeling in the Big Bash always is you've just got to make the top four. You've just got to make the semis, and then anything can happen.
Yeah.
Whether you play the Renegades at the SCG or at Docklands Stadium, doesn't matter. I think the Docklands Stadium, with its vagaries, actually suits the Sixers' bowling attack pretty well. So I don't think that's a great disadvantage. It's just a disadvantage not playing in front of 40,000 of your home fans.
Yeah, that, I was going to say, matters to the Sixers fans. They're the ones that are disappointed by it.
Matters to the accountant down there at the Sydney Sixers.
And them too. Jody Hawkins, who's the general manager there.
I would have expected 40,000 there.
Yeah, minimum 30. Minimum 30. Which is
not to be. Got to get on with it and try and win the title now.
And sorry, mate, when you say that the Docklands may well suit the New South Wales, the Sydney Sixers attack, what is it about Docklands that suits the Sixers attack?
Well, it just seems to be, it's not the perfect surface. Like we have the Gabba, as we saw the other night. You know, when the ball comes on, you just swing the bat and the ball disappears.
Right,
And to a certain degree, that you know, the Whacker was and the new pitch over there, the new stadium, is a bit of that as well. So it's a different style of cricket. When the ball turns a little bit, stops a little bit, and a little bit up and down. So it's not completely predictable. And certainly the Sixers bowling attackers bowl well on pitches like that. So, you know, it's not just, you know, lob it up and the batsmen swing as hard as they can. There's a lot more subtleties to it. So I don't think from that point of view that it's a great loss. But as I say, it's just that missing that home crowd.
Henry, Tom Curran, is he now played his last game for the Sixers?
Well, this year he has.
This tournament.
He's off to the Caribbean, isn't he?
We tried hard to keep him for another week.
He's a loss.
But England wanted him. I thought with the England coach being a former Sixers coach, we might have done a deal there, but it didn't quite work out.
I was going to ask you about that. I was thinking, I saw a TB in the stands yesterday and I thought, oh, isn't he under the pump? And then you look today and not so much.
A game's a long time in professional sport, mate. You know that.
Yeah,
that's right.
And Vince is still there for the semi-final, isn't he?
Vince. He's playing super well.
Yeah, he's playing.
Good player.
But you know, and the rules are that you can't bring an international player in just for a semi-final. Right. They've had to play one of the proper rounds, so we'll just have to rethink our side through that. But Tom very much will be missed.
Who takes Tom's spot at this early stage, in your mind?
Well, see, that just depends on whether you think you have a look at that pitch. You play another spinner there? Would you side back in Benny Manenti? Or would you actually bowl Jack Edwards? Would you give him, you know, get a few overs out of him?
Oof.
There are a few options that you can fiddle around with. Mm.
Henry, we'll let you just dust yourself down and get on with things, but good luck on Friday night.
Already dusted, already getting on with it.
He's on. He's up and about.
Oh, good to hear. Go to Sixers, 220.
Sounds brighter than I thought. Good on you, Henry.
All right, guys.